Blessed to be with you. Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. Phone number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO, a chilly day. And by the way, I love it when we talk about winter and how cold it is and everything else. It really just warms my heart, especially when people say, the climate's changing, it's global warming, it's going to be a bad thing for everybody. We have to do something. We have to go hug a tree to make sure that the climate does. I mean, where are the global warmers today? Right? Where are the global warmers today? Want to thank the staff and management. Outstanding job last night at the Walmart on Overland in Boise last night. Wonderful time. Want to thank so many of you. Our great friend David Ripley stopped by. Another young man stopped by, gave me some caviar, some salami and crackers, and a nice T-shirt. Appreciate him. And so many of you came by. A young lady from California honked her horn at me in a good way. Donating turkey vouchers to the Boise Rescue Mission. Remember, coming up Monday, hard to believe it's already here. It's turkey time. And we're going to be once again living at the Walmart, Garrity and Franklin, thanks to our friends at Team Mazda Subaru, Lister Frost, Camping World, and the Boise Rescue Mission. More details on our website, KIDOTalkRadio.com. So this is a story that we kind of tiptoed around yesterday, and it's a story by Channel 7. And it has to do with marijuana being the in thing in Ontario, Oregon. Let's take a listen to the details, and then we'll discuss.
If you go by the shops, you'll see a lot of Idaho plates. So they're buying product and leaving.
Ontario City Manager Adam Brown jokes that Ontario is the pot capital of Idaho. The marijuana may not be staying in town, but the money is.
I think based on these numbers, we could expect, with the local tax and the state tax, to be $1.1 to $1.2 million.
That's how much tax revenue Ontario is expecting to collect from pot shops in the first year of stores being open. Weedology was the first dispensary in town to open its doors this past July. Store manager Eric Lance says there's been a steady stream of customers ever since.
It's hundreds. I mean, it starts in the hundreds before noon, and we just keep going up until the end, depending on day.
Hotbox Farms and Burnt River Farms opened shortly after.
We see a lot of new customers, though. I think we see, you know, new customers every single day.
A fourth pot shop, Top Crop, is expected to open up soon. Ontario has granted 14 total permits for marijuana entrepreneurs to open up shop.
I think many of those are the same owners, and it's more like basketball where they're boxing each other out.
But how many dispensaries, realistically, could the city of Ontario support?
I don't see, you know, a lot of movement past this fourth one. There's going to be more, but I don't think more of them are going to survive.
We are all selling the same products. It's kind of like gas stations or convenience stores. It's a very competitive market.
So $39 here.
It's a competitive market that McKay and Lance say is driving away business from Huntington, the eastern Oregon town where pot was first big business in 2016.
It's going to be $37.50.
Stephen Milland owns Hotbox Farms in Huntington and Ontario. He says his Huntington location used to see upwards of 1,500 customers on the weekends compared to just several hundred now. But Milland says Huntington is still profitable, and he has no plans of closing his shop there.
Well, that's reassuring. We do want to thank Channel 7 for that story. And I understand that, you know, in the news business today, it's funny, people are ripping it on Matt Drudge. The Drudge Report, the greatest aggregator of all time. People are, Fox News is ripping on Matt Drudge, saying that he's, you know, promoting these anti-Trump headlines. Well, Drudge Report is into the business of getting the clicks, right? They're in the business of getting the clicks. And I totally get that. It's all about the clicks. And really, the news business, pot sells. And Channel 7 going to Ontario and saying, look, they're making a lot of money. We can make a lot of money here. We could make a lot of money here. Maybe we should just legalize the weed. Maybe we should forget about drug-free Idaho. And what was it? Red Ribbon Week just a week ago? Where they wear the red ribbons and we have this big ceremony. This big ceremony at the state capitol, and all the little children's run around, drug-free, drug-free, drug-free. That's, I know, a horrible little children's. But anyway, So here you have, and so we're teaching our kids to be drug free, and the same people that are touting Red Ribbon Week are what? They're going to be the same ones that are going to say it's time to legalize marijuana? Now, never mind what you want to do to adults, but what about the kids? It's a conflicting message. So if we're going to legalize weed, heck, why don't we just legalize prostitution? Right? We've got the folks that gamble. Let's just legalize gambling. Right? Let's just legalize heroin. Right? Let's just legalize everything. Now, I know what you're saying at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Look, Kevin Miller, you have your drug of choice. It's called chicken. You have the physique of a turkey. And I get it. I get it. That is my drug of choice. And they said that, what was it, 2 weeks ago, that chocolate chip cookies are more addictive than cocaine? I think there are a lot of people, I think there are a lot of people that are in rehabilitation places that would argue with that, but regardless. So here we have these marijuana entrepreneurs. To me, they're lawbreakers. They're simply lawbreakers. They're breaking the law. By doing what? By selling something that is against the federal law. But it's all about money. And it really comes down to the state of Idaho. What are we going to do with it? Well, we could use the money to save the schools. Really? We could use the pot money for rehab clinics. Heck, we could use the pot taxation. Now, this is a good one, to build the jails. And we're not going to have as many people in jail because it's legalized to sell the weed. Never mind in Colorado and California that the legalized weed has flooded the market so much that to buy, and it's overtaxed, that it's still cheaper to buy the black market stuff. So marijuana, like CBD oil, is not the great elixir of our times. It just opens up more problems. And it's an easy story to do. And the guy in Ontario joking, there's no joke about people that are addicted. Look, there's no joke to me. I'm addicted to the food. Well, Kevin, you have to eat. Yeah, I'm a fatty, morbidly fat. I'm addicted. There's no joking about that. You have your health implications, and here you have the city official going, well, we're the pot capital of Idaho. Shame on you, sir. Yeah, the people of Ontario, if they want to do that, and I feel sorry for the good people in Ontario. That city, unfortunately, has not had the economic renaissance that we here in the Treasure Valley have. If you want to buy a good home, want to get more for your value, don't mind driving, go buy a home in Ontario. Great deals there. No, they're defunding the police department. They're defunding this. So the pot purveyors come in and they swoop in and all of a sudden it's big money cash. But I don't think that it should be promoted. Yeah, I get why they do the story. Because people want to talk about it. People want to discuss it. People say, why aren't we doing it here? And I think that, and look, whether you like Brad Little or not, the governor of the state, we're with him. We're with him on this one. At 580-5436, 580-KIDO, as soon as you start rolling, first it's going to be the hemp. And remember, why is hemp so profitable right now? There aren't many states that legalize it, even though the federal government has. So once the hemp happens, then what's going to happen next? Well, there are going to be more people producing it, so the profitability will go down. So once the profitability goes down, well, then it's not the great, you know, easy street as we once thought it was. You're going to have to go back to growing corn and sugar beets and potatoes. And then once hemp's not so bad, let's bring in medical marijuana. Medical marijuana, by the way, I believe, according to sources that have told me, there's a prescription that you can get in the state, not to smoke it, but in pill form. So why would you need to smoke it if you can get a pill subscription to it, or prescription, right? And then we have what's going on in Ontario. Again, I think the marijuana entrepreneurs, they're going to continue to take our money. And we've talked about ISP, we've talked about everything else, but quite frankly, there's a lot of policing that needs to be done. I mean, in Boise, if you missed this overnight, somebody shot a cat. Well, you talk about the depravity of a soul. Why would people shoot a cat? Well, Kevin Miller, I'm a hunter. I do this, that. No, you don't shoot a cat. And if you do, own up to it. Don't be a coward, cat killer. we'll get back to the cat killer in a minute that the police are looking for. But at 580-5436-580-KIDO, again, respectfully to our friends at Channel 7, because they are the best when it comes to the news, I get why they do the story, but people could interpret the story as this is promoting the Ontario marijuana boom, and maybe it is a story that I refuse to be objective about, right? By the way, that's the top local story we are talking about this hour. In other news, the president getting ready for the big impeachment hearings, and SCOTUS has something going on, the Supreme Court of the United States, but the president of the United States, he is ready to go. His former ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, had this to say.
I think they were exasperated not just by this, but my defense of the president getting out of the Iran deal, my defense of the president getting out of the Paris Climate Agreement, my defense of the president moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And that's when they said, you don't understand. We're not trying to undermine the president. We're trying to save the country.
And there you have it, her thoughts on Rex Tillerson and John Kelly. One, the Secretary of State at the time. The other, the Chief of Staff. Amazing, the drama that continues to unfold in the Trump White House. We'll have more on that coming up. Plus, we'll take your phone calls about the issues that matter to you, Treasure Valley, with me, Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. Rolling on the right side, Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. Keep it here for complete impeachment hearing coverage with Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Lars Larson, and yours truly. Boy, by the way, when you think of this brouhaha and, you know, this sense of history, is it because we have social media today? Is it because we have social media today that it doesn't seem like that big of a deal? Or is it because that we seem to be biased and we just know that this is something over absolutely nothing? All these people want to do is take away our president, take away our dream. And look, over the years, thanks to President Obama and others, they've done a darn good job of that, haven't they? By the way, other news of the day, the Boise mayor. We don't know how much longer he will be Boise mayor, but he says, well, I'm going to rethink this library thing. You know, you don't have to live in Boise to understand the, well, you don't have to live in Boise to understand the hubris of Dave Beter. Dave Beter should read a book that I'm reading and continue to read called Ego is the Enemy. And in this book by Ryan Holiday, I believe is the name of the guy that wrote it, he describes various people throughout history and throughout sports that lose it all because of ego. If you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, take a look at the Dallas Cowboys and that dynasty they had with Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson. And it all ended at an awards dinner. It did. What happened? Well, Jerry and Jimmy were going back and forth, and Jerry didn't like giving Jimmy credit for the team's turnaround. Didn't like giving Jimmy credit at all. So what happened next? They got in a fight. Jimmy goes, I'm done. I quit. You ain't quitting. You're fired. And thus the end of one of the greatest dynasties in NFL history. For years, Dave Beter, the king of Boise, Dave Beter decides we're going to have a library. We're going to have a library. Dave Beter decides we're going to be overly friendly to LGBTQ. We're overly friendly to LGBTQ. The American flag for the 4th of July week is up for a week in the city of Boise. The rainbow flag's up a month. Dave Beter shrewdly kowtowed, cajoled, pandered to the liberal folks when Obamacare was going on. Little old Boise, Idaho, the city council rammed through a resolution endorsing the Affordable Care Act. Had no, a non-binding resolution had nothing to do with anything except the mayor positioning. Perhaps the mayor lost his chance when he should have run for governor against Governor Little. Heck, if Paulette Jordan can get 40% of the vote, what could Dave Beter have done with his Boise political machine? Maybe he missed his time. But the hubris of Dave Beter, now he's made another mayoral announcement. By the way, it took him long enough to figure this out, that he's going to revisit the library issue. You ever just talk to somebody and they're a good person but they just don't get it. And I've had people do it. And I look back on my life when someone was trying to say, Kevin, you're not seeing things the right way. So the mayor yesterday, the mayor of Boise, saying, I'm going to pause and reflect on the library project. Well, that's reassuring. After he got trounced at the polls, the people don't want a new library. The people are tired of bike lanes taking over the roads. The people are just tired. And when you think about Dave Beter and everything that he's done, and when you think about all the pandering he's done to these liberal special interest groups, they all turned on him. Right? Better, younger, more vibrant person. Laura McLean, thanks, brother. Appreciate you. Has come in, and she's the belle of the liberal elite. I love this. Boise Mayor Dave Beter announced Monday that he will recommend an immediate reset to the main library project. You need to punt on the library, buddy. Because quite frankly, I don't think you're going to make it. I don't think you're going to make the election coming back by 20 points. Again, you have younger, faster, more streamlined liberal. You're being replaced. And it's funny because in Mayor Dave Beter's mind, he did all the right things. Coming up, we'll get your thoughts on that at 580-5436, plus this issue involving legalizing the weed. It will continue to haunt us. And you have some people in the Republican Party, some people in the, quote, liberty movement, that are all down with the legalized weed. How can you be a Republican and want to legalize weed? It is crazy. But guys, I want to talk to you now about a sensitive subject. That's erectile dysfunction. It's more normal than you think, and it can be fixed. Boise Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED called acoustic wave therapy. It utilizes an FDA-cleared device to open up blood vessels and restore blood flow in this part of the body. That means normal function in the bedroom like it used to be in your younger years. The best part, it doesn't require pills, injections, or surgery, and there are no side effects. Boise Medical is running a special offer for those that call in now. They'll give you an initial exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound totally free. That's a $300 value. But you must call in now, 208-202-5000. That's 208-202-5000. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction for good. Call Boise Medical Clinic now for that offer, 208-202-5000. Kevin Miller in the Morning, KIDO Talk Radio. Back to the big issue at hand, though. This issue about legalizing the weed and what's next for the Boise mayor's race. The problem is for the city of Boise, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge indeed. Is Laura McLean going to be more conservative than Dave Beter? No. You have people that have said, Kevin Miller, she's endorsed by Planned Parenthood. Okay. You have one of the good things that soon-to-be former mayor Dave Beter did, and look, we're just going to call it soon-to-be former mayor Dave Beter. And by the way, unlike Laura McLean and her campaign that has reached out to come on this program, we're going to get to that. We're doing a little remodeling here at the Broadcast Center, which is very exciting. However, you know, she's welcome to come on. The former mayor, he's welcome to come on, but he won't. That's fine. He's going to cut ribbons, and he's going to cut ribbons until he's out of office. No one else will say that, but he's done. He's done. I know that hurts a lot of his friends and family, but he didn't take this young lady seriously, and he is done. So, you know, what does the McLean administration mean? Well, she's going to be a lot more shrewd. She's going to be a lot more dynamic. She's going to be smarter. She's going to say, look, I'm not a liberal. I just want what's best. I only want to do a listening tour. And of that listening tour, expect her to drop that lawsuit right now going before the Supreme Court that allows the city of Boise to actually give tickets to people that are using our parks or the parks in the city of Boise, not mine. I don't live in Boise. But to use Boise parks for their own camping grounds. And by the grace of God, there go I. We want to do as much work for people that are destitute, that are homeless, but we shouldn't be turning Ann Morrison Park and other parks into a camping ground where you have people that, you know, are digging latrines like they are in San Francisco and in Las Vegas and other places. But that lawsuit will go out. You'll see more issues here, probably an embracing attitudes that we've seen in Portland and Seattle. Now, to her credit, they have said, look, we want to go on the Miller Show. I get that. That shows a lot of courage. Senator Buckner Webb, we want to go on the Miller Show. I get it. They want to engage. They're not backing down. And you look at the mayor of the city of Boise, he goes, wow, I think we should revisit the library issue. Dude, you need to get it together. Pretty soon it'll be Miller and Beter in the morning. It'll be his new job. You know, the politicians, that's what they do. They just go on radio. Well, hopefully Mayor Beter won't take my job. But it is something to think about here when you have the capital city, the largest city, and you take a look at a guy that probably missed his shot to go after Governor Little. You think about the city of Boise and everything else, all the other libs. If Paulette Jordan, again, got 40-something percent of the vote, 37%, Dave Beter could have gotten, what, 45? What was it, not Keith Allred, who was out, ran against Governor Otter? Oh, our friend A.J. Belukoff. A.J. Belukoff got, what, 45% against the third, fourth term of Governor Otter? Anyway, coming up, we will focus on the impeachment. Again, you can always, you're always welcome to join the conversation. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, and this Ontario. I love this. To me, it's just a swarmy comment. Ontario, Oregon, the pot capital of Idaho. Well, there is no pot capital in Idaho, true believers, as long as we stand on principle, as long as we stand up for the gem state. Will you join me? Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. Thank you, Dave. KIDO Talk Radio weather from the Channel 7 First Alert Weather Center. High today at 58, low tonight 34, high tomorrow, you guessed it, 59. Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you're just waking up, we're counting down the minutes, the days, the hours till the impeachment hearings go public. Now, let's face it, those of you that have a little, what is it they call it, snow on the bumper or what have you, remember the Clinton impeachments? That was big news because the media had tried to cover it up, and thanks to the reporting of Michael Isikoff, not Wizikoff, the Newsweek guy, not the Time guy. They broke the Monica Lewinsky story, and we had the hearings, and it looked like Clinton was going to go until the Senate decided to, I guess, vote to not remove good old Bill Clinton, right? Now we have this impeachment charade. It's not even really an impeachment thing. It's you have Adam Schiff, and if you've been listening to Sean Hannity, every afternoon at 3, he breaks it down for you. You have, and Lars Larson broke it down for us yesterday, right? Who follows Sean Hannity right here. So what you have is a guy that didn't hear it firsthand, didn't hear it secondhand. I think he heard it thirdhand. And what he did, by the way, this guy's a partisan Democrat. He worked for Joe Biden, loves Joe Biden. He's Joe Biden's little boy. Well, no, I don't want to say he's Joe Biden's little boy, but you know what I mean. They're friends. And by the way, the term little boy should be offensive. You know, everybody, you either have one or you are one, right? Anyway, so you have this guy who secretly hooked up with Adam Schiff. Schiff didn't tell anybody. And all of a sudden, boom, we've got the whistleblower. And then you look to yourself and you go, well, what did the president do? What did he do that was so outrageous that it's a high crime, that it's a misdemeanor? Well, a quid pro quo. People don't even know what quid pro quo means. So now the Democrats are going, it was bribery. It was this or that. Hey, Ukraine, you want military weapons? You need to tell us what's going on with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. As Kevin Miller likes to say, you get the ticket or the ticky or the punchy. Right? No ticky, no punchy. Very simple. When we want people to do things, heck, even almighty Joe Biden himself said they removed that prosecutor or we're holding up the aid. Right? That's how it is. You want that raise? You want that commission? You want this? Well, then you're going to have to exceed your quota. It happens all the time. And then you have the press, which, again, once again, is outkicking their coverage when they're saying, is it appropriate for the president to do this? I don't know. Is it appropriate for Barack Obama to spy on people and to make things up and to have the FISA court investigate journalists? Well, they're James Rosen, who now works for Sinclair, who worked for Fox. He doesn't matter. He's not really one of us. Think about this, and I don't even know if we have enough guts in this country. And if there was one person that could do that, it would be Donald John Trump. But I don't think that we have the political will to take a look at Eric Holder, the former attorney general, Loretta Lynch, the former attorney general, James Comey, the former director of the FBI, and bring them up on a realistic investigation concerning the FISA court abuses. I was telling my young ward, Jacob, the other day about Citizen Four. If you're a person that watches the Amazon Prime, Citizen Four is now free. And you're going, well, what's his name? He's a traitor, right? Edward Snowden is a traitor. I'm not going to watch that. Citizen Four is the documentary that they filmed when Edward Snowden actually revealed all the NSA secrets, all the violations of the law. He caught the director of national intelligence or the CIA or whatever James Clapper was lying to the Congress, to the American public. Was James Clapper ever brought up on charges? So you tell me, dear true believer, what is more troubling to you? The government that knows what you bought at Winco last night, the government that knows that you just described to Disney Plus so you can get the Hulu bundle, the government knows where you go, what you do, blah, 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 on your little keyboards, or the fact that the president said, I'd like you to investigate what happened with Biden and his kid. Is that a conflict of interest? I don't know. I don't even know if writing a book on it would matter. You know, in the old days, it was like being on, in magazines and being on the radio and being in television. It was a big deal to write a book. But we've had the Clinton covers up. We've had all these things. We've had these exposés, right? Dinesh D'Souza. We've had all these things. And still yet, it doesn't seem to move the needle. You take a look at what Obama did, and the difference between Obama and Trump is Trump's attorney general, our boy, Jeff Sessions, turned him in. Whereas Eric Holder, whereas Loretta Lynch, let Obama run free and break the law. That's what it comes down to. So as we get ready for this, I mean, the libs are very happy about it, but this is not a fun day for the American Republic, is it? It's not a fun day for the American Republic. Think about this. This is the third time it's only happened in history, and you have the Democrats trying to get people ginned up enough to impeach a guy that did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. And then couple that with the press, you know, trying to make a name for himself. So whatever happened to just service and let everything else speak for itself?
Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense Laura Cooper says it was never clear to her why security assistance to Ukraine was put on hold over the summer, even after the Pentagon signed off months earlier on anti-corruption benchmarks. In closed-door testimony last month, Cooper said she was told by Kurt Volker, the U.S. envoy in Ukraine, that he was working on getting that aid lifted by getting Ukraine to make a public statement about election interference investigations. It's not clear, she says, if Ukraine was aware of that aid being held up in August, but in the days before it was eventually released, Ministry of Defense officials were asking questions. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
You know, we're always asking questions, but again, it's the buildup. It's like a movie, but it's real, right? It's like a movie, but it's real when we're taking a look at this. By the way, yesterday was Veterans Day. We all love Veterans Day. And we honor our veterans. And what is a way to honor a veteran? What is a way to honor someone who served? You know, maybe you go to a military funeral. Maybe you get to go do these things. Maybe you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. A 21-gun salute. Well, the University of Virginia, you know, the one founded by Thomas Jefferson, right? Decided they were going to end the 21-gun salute. Why? Because it was inappropriate. Because, quite frankly, it leads to violence. So here in America today, one of the oldest universities, you're going to love this, has decided to cancel the 21-gun salute because of concern over gun violence. Well, I will say this. It's the people that have served this country. It's the people that continue to go and wake up at all hours of the day to train with those weapons, that sleep with those weapons, that understand those weapons, keeps the gun violence from not happening. So each Veterans Day, and by the way, thanks to, what is it, Ridgeview High School in Nampa, but it's part of the Valley View School District, I believe. I mean, big ups to them. Every year they honor the veterans. I believe CUNA does the same thing. And the veterans come in because they're the Warhawks. And they have this big ceremony. Very different. I guess that's why good people are trying to come to Idaho. I mean, Britt Hume, who graduated from UVA, called the school panty waste. I mean, come on. You're saying this. Why in the world would you do this? I love this. The president said that continuing the tradition more than a decade old might scare unsuspecting students. So now we're worried about kids, so much so that we've canceled something that has really been going on for 10 years. Now you can say woke, you can say snowflakes, you can say Kevin Miller, look at what's going on at Boise State, right?
Under fire tonight over a decision to change part of the annual Veterans Day ceremony held on grounds. NBC 29's Henry Graff is live here in studio with details on that. Hi, Henry.
Casey, good evening. The University of Virginia will still hold a Veterans Day ceremony, but it will no longer include a 21-gun salute. It is a decision UVA leaders said today they're not going to change.
Fire!
The University of Virginia is stopping a long-honored tradition during its Veterans Day ceremony. This year, you will not hear that 21-gun salute.
One is that it would be disruptive to classes, and two, unfortunately, with gun violence in the U.S., there was some concern that we would cause some panic if someone heard gunshots on grounds.
The UVA Provost's Office, in conjunction with the Colonel of UVA's ROTC program, made the decision. Veterans Day celebrates all who serve and served in our nation's military. The ceremony on grounds, which marks the conclusion of a 24-hour vigil by ROTC cadets, included the 21-gun salute for more than a decade.
I am very disillusioned, very upset, and very surprised that they would make such a decision.
Veterans like Jay Levine are concerned with the decision. Levine went through the ROTC program at UVA and says the 21-gun salute is the ultimate salute to those who have served and passed away.
Freedom isn't free. There's a cost, and that cost is borne by the veterans and the families of those veterans.
There we have it. There we have political correctness run amok. Kevin Rill in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. Thank you, Dave Ramsey. Don't forget, tomorrow we're rolling on the right side. We'll be at the Meridian Overland Walmart asking you to come by and donate some turkey vouchers. Now, next week we're collecting turkeys. This week, turkey vouchers that go to the Boise Rescue Mission. More details on our website, KIDOTalkRadio.com. I do want to thank the folks at the Boise Overland Walmart. The staff there is just really just wonderful. And, you know, Walmart really has stepped up this year in helping us help the Boise Rescue Mission. And, you know, the local people working at the Walmarts really embracing this. When you go into a Walmart, you're going to see this big turkey picture. You'll see our call letters. You'll see our friends at KTSY, their call letters, and they do a wonderful job. And their ministry is something that we're very proud of and we support. And their humility is something that we can all marvel at. And you contrast that with the world that we live in today. It's great to see the folks at Walmart and you making a difference. I want to thank Team Mazda, Subaru, Lister Frost, and others who have sponsored this great, well, this great cause. And we appreciate that. Coming up, much more on the public impeachment hearings. But here's something else that do, you know, whether you like Jimmy Carter or not, it's amazing that he had to go into the hospital. This is a guy at 95 that is still building houses. Hey, Jimmy. Hey, President Carter. With all due respect, maybe it's time to chill out a little, right? Maybe it's time to relax. So our thoughts and prayers go out to former President Carter. And unlike everybody else, he still continues to work with his hands. Locally, the top story is the mayor of Boise says he's learned his lesson and he promises to be a good Dave Beater if he, in fact, is reelected. Laura McLean says she wants to come on this program. We'll see what happens with that. And again, we're always ready for the healthy exchange of ideas. And can you imagine, former Mayor Dave Beater never came on this program. Soon-to-be Mayor McLean comes on the program even before she's mayor. Smart, smart young lady, very shrewd what's going on here throughout the Treasure Valley. We'll talk about that coming up next hour when we take a look at the changing dynamics. And yes, we're the reddest of the red, but how red are we really? And is anybody besides Tea Party Bob, Kevin Miller, and sometimes Terry from State College, Pennsylvania, really going to step up to make a difference? And our friend Max in Garden City, the rising young conservative. More on those stories in a minute, but first, going to be very cold. Hello, global warmers. Thank you so much for your propaganda. Back to the phones, and we go to Kurt in Boise, who saved us from an hour of the Miller monologue. Kurt, good morning. You're on KIDO Talk Radio.
Good morning, Kevin. Hey, I just wanted to touch base about the story from the L.A. Times. I know you guys talked about it earlier, but I kind of had to go do something, so I'm calling in now.
Sure.
Well, first of all, I've read the whole story, too, and I thought the lady was just had your typical California attitude about it all. They just seem so sometimes aloof, you know what I mean? Like, we're from California, we're special, we're, you know, that kind of thing. And then when she talked about putting us down, I just thought that that's good because we don't want no more people coming here. If that's their attitude, then that's fine. But what really kind of touched me was about the football player. I remember we talked about this months ago or weeks ago, however long it was. But what I don't understand is usually when people put some type of flyer or a business card or something on somebody's car or somewhere, there's usually more than just one. So if there's people that's actually handing out these business cards or flyers and putting them on California's windshield, you would think that you would hear more people saying, well, I got one of those too. You know, just if it's only this one person, to me, that's kind of funny because nobody else is bringing it up. And, you know, if somebody said something, you know, the Me Too movement kind of thing, you know what I'm saying?
No, so Kurt, I agree with you. And nobody knew who this guy was until this happened.
Well, see, that's my point, brother. I think the guy did it himself to get his name out there, man. Oh. Because how many times have there been victims that perpetrated their own crime? We hear about it all the time, man. Black people saying that Nazis wrote swastikas, or the gay people say they got beat up, or the people in the military say they got abused, or all this stuff, or even that guy, the movie star or TV show, it said that happened and it all came out. So I'm not trying to stir nothing up here, but I was just, it's always kind of just been an itch that can't be scratched because nobody else has brought it up about getting one of those on their windshield.
Well, it seems odd that he would be the only person that got a card on his windshield.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Where's everybody else at? Because, I mean, you don't just make one business card. You make 1,000 of them. I mean, you get a 100 of them for $10 or 1,000 of them for $10 or something. So I just thought it was very strange, but I just wanted to bring that up. And, you know, this, the whole thing, I think it's actually doing us a favor because we know we're not a bunch of stupid rednecks. I mean, maybe a little bit, but not over the top, you know, I mean,
well,
and I do think it's, go ahead.
I was going to say my original take was to smack the LA Times, but this might be a blessing.
I think so because, you know, people, I mean, I know I've got a lot of friends up here from California, and they got rid of their plates, and they don't even say they're from California, man. They just want to assimilate. They moved up here to assimilate. They moved up here to just get away from it. They want to have a nice home that they can afford, and I understand all that. But when they come up here and they don't change their license plates, or you can even tell the way they drive. I mean, you know as well as I do. Usually you leave intersections open or you let people in and you wave. Nowadays, they don't even look at you. You know, it's like, oh, I don't see you. You're not there.
Right.
So I don't know, man. But I just wanted to touch base on that and wanted to thank you for everything you're doing. I love your show, man.
Well, Kurt, we appreciate you listening. It's because of you that we can continue on with the show, so thank you.
Thank you, man. I'll see you at Walmart, brother.
Yes, sir. Take care, Kurt.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. And, yeah, I mean, the other day I'm on the on 84, and usually, you know, what, four lanes go to three or five lanes go to four, something like that. And there you had some young kid from Orange County. Wouldn't let me in. Wouldn't let me in. No, I, what was it on 10 Mile the other day? Some guy with his customized California plate was the oddest darn thing. Some guy with his custom plate, they're not due until May 2020, so he's keeping them on. And I'm going, well, I'll be a blippity blip. Then I look over, and there's another California plate. I think this was like a Nissan Altima. And sure enough, September 2020. Now, I know our law enforcement, they've got enough to do. You know, didn't we earlier talk about deputizing people to pull people over? Just kidding. We'll save that for the Scooter Patrol. Kevin Miller, Fox News, next. Stay tuned.